Let's open in prayer. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for these days of introspection. We thank you for these days of divine restoration. And we thank you that you're fine-tuning us in a very special way. We have no comprehension exactly what you're going to do or the magnitude of what you're going to do. So we just thank you, Father, that you've taught us to walk in faith, because that's the only way we're going to be able to continue on into the fullness of what you have for us. So we just praise you, Father, and give you all glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, this should be interesting. Ooh, I got a lot of things going on here. Well, I'm going to continue on speaking some of the exhortations and reflections of the Father's heart that I've been given over the years. And it's just amazing, again, to see these things as I'm doing them and realize just how God has continually revealed them to me through circumstances. As I would be obedient, then he would lead me into situations where I would see the wisdom of his words. And like I said before, it's very important to realize that the words that are given to us for those who are truly seeking God are for the entire remnant and for the entire church. So these principles will serve us well as we act on them. And as we, again, most importantly, spend time in the presence of God in order to gain a revelation of his heart. Because without that, we're not going to be able to understand what he's doing, what he desires to do. And so that's very important. So the first word, the essence of the true spirit of the cross is absolute dependence or trust upon God with no reliance upon self. That is what God is leading us into. That is what holiness can be defined as. And although there are times in our walk where that seems absolutely impossible, it's not with God. And I really believe that in this hour, and I'm actually seeing it, that again, he's fine-tuning us. And introspection in the light of the Spirit, in the light of the Word, is not a bad thing. Because we don't want to be a people who fall short of God's best in any given aspect of life or ministry. And obviously that's good for ourselves, but most importantly, we need to be in a position where we're loving God with all our heart, receiving his best, so we can impart that. You know, the degree of love you have abiding in your heart, that's the degree of love you'll be able to impart. So God is raising up a remnant and is going to move powerfully in the midst of his people in ways that, again, we can't even comprehend. We need to be believing and we need to be ready. So he's talking about an absolute dependence, an absolute trust. And that really encompasses a lot of things, but mainly it brings us, it's the result of a relationship with God. And, you know, we've talked about the importance of relationship, and it's come down to that because you're going to have a relationship with somebody. Now, is it going to be the devil and those who serve him, or is it going to be God and those who serve him? And it's the gap, again, is widening day by day. Another word, perfect obedience is the quickest way home. And it was funny because I believe it was Sunday. I think Marcia was Marcia, and she was talking about, or was it Bill? I don't know. Doesn't matter. It all runs together now for sure. Just this whole thing of, oh, Lord, just take me home. You know, I want to go home. And, you know, we've all kind of had that. Even Paul had an experience with that. But, you know, I got into that a number of years ago, and a little self-pity and so on, and I'm saying, oh, Lord, I just want to be in your presence. I just want to be your presence. He says, well, why don't you obey me now, and you can be in my presence here, get the job done, you know. You know, I mean, really, the flesh is so futile in its thinking and so vain in its understanding of things. And I mean, it's true, you know. Really, what we want is a way out, and it's rooted in fear and selfishness and so on. But, I mean, by now, we should be a people who hunger and thirst after righteousness, and who desire to see the true church established, revelation by revelation, obedience by obedience, and so forth. And ourselves, we should be out of the picture in that sense. And what we experience in our life should just simply be the residue of our relationship with God, our obedience to God. And that's the way the system works properly. For one to get their eyes upon themselves in this last hour is deadly. I'm seeing examples of that, and I'm seeing people just drift off into darkness. And it's not a very easy darkness to be free of if you drift off out there in this hour. We're to keep our eyes fixed on Jesus. And he said, the perfect obedience is the quickest way home. You know, again, we need to have an eternal perspective, because the things that are done in faith and obedience now are eternal. They are going to last eternally. I can't stand here and explain to you exactly how that's going to work out in the ages to come. But I do know this, that God is an eternal being. And what we do in obedience to him and through a revelation of his will stand eternally. It can't, where would it go? It has nowhere to go except to fulfill the purpose of God throughout the ages. Very, very important. So, again, I don't want to dwell on this, but self-pity, very, very dangerous thing. We are the most blessed human beings on the face of this earth, and that's where you stop, and that's where you start, right there. My beloved ones, you are going to find yourself continually in situations wherein you will be called upon to not justify yourself in the face of flesh and blood. But truly I say to you, I am your justification. Now, this is interesting because we really are moving rapidly towards an all-out conflict as far as those who are truly seeking God and those who are not. And, of course, the devil is trying to get us to let go of the vision, to get our eyes upon ourselves, to get into a place of doubt, unbelief, or even uncertainty of some kind, and then, of course, begin to justify ourselves. And I believe I shared this word earlier, but if one is justifying themselves, then it's certain they don't have a revelation of God's will. Now, I mean in a spirit of self-justification. The fact is, we are to be in the presence of God, and we are to come out of that place, out of the throne room, with revelation in our heart. And when we're confronted, and we surely will be, because this is one of the devil's chief schemes, has God said, did he really say that about the glorious church, so on and so on, we need to be a people who are filled with a revelation of his will, and then we will be able to stand and to overcome in all things. And again, these principles are absolute. If people do not hearken to the voice of God, if they do not have a revelation of God's will in their heart, they will not stand. So the way we stand is through faith in God's word and a revelation of his will and the power of his spirit working in us. See, these things are real. I mean, we are in a very good place here, obviously. But there will come, there has been confrontation, and there will come more confrontation. And I just come, what comes to mind is Shelley did a teaching on Pharisaical madness. And the same things that happened to Jesus that he experienced, and believe me, the devil was trying to stop him all the way. Well, he's trying to stop the glorious church all the way. But I will say this, is not even going to be close for those who are walking in faith. They will overcome, and they will overcome absolutely in all things. And at the same time, captives will be set free, and the devil will be trampled under our feet. Now, again, I want you to remember, I've said this before, but it's very important. People need to have this revelation in their heart. When God gives a prophecy concerning the fivefold ministry or the various offices, that prophecy is still for the entire church, the remnant church. So it's very important not to see in any way some sort of hierarchy that, oh, well, if this apostle does that or that prophet does that, then we'll just kind of follow. No, no. They will impart the revelation of the Father's heart. And each individual believer is accountable to God to go into the inner chamber, to lay that before God and allow the Holy Spirit to unfold that just the way that they need to have it unfolded to them. We are each individuals, and God will use any number of means in order to cause us to come into an understanding as it applies to us, as it applies to the things that he's going to have us do. And that is very, very important. So I want you to see yourself in this, because you're going to be going forth also. He said, I shall use to a great degree my holy apostles and prophets to be vessels of the revelation of my will to those who truly seek to be free. Now, I can tell you there are vast multitudes of people in the world who desire to be free. And also, born-again children of God who have been in bondage a long time, they also desire to be free. There are those who don't truly desire to be free. But there are those who truly seek to be free. And he said, the words which I give my apostles and prophets to speak will instantly be confirmed in their hearts, those who will hear. And they shall immediately know what they must do. And again, many times it's simply an instruction by the Holy Spirit to get into the presence of God and allow the Holy Spirit to reveal what needs to be revealed to their heart. Nobody's going to write a book. It's already been written. But nobody's going to write a book where people can just open it up and say, okay, this is what I need to do. everything from here on in, and even in the past, is based on relationship with God. I mean, true relationship with God. So they'll know what they must do in obedience to turn the tables on the evil one. That's first and foremost for them to become free. And as soon as you begin to receive that freedom and you begin to walk in it, then you can turn, get your eyes off yourself and turn on the devil. And then the captives will be set free. And so shall my holy apostles and prophets be sought out throughout the land. And as my people begin to incline their hearts wholly towards me, just want to say, it's not so much the men and the women being sought out, it's the revelation that they're carrying by the Spirit of God. And as my people begin to incline their hearts wholly towards me, they themselves shall be able to discern my will for their lives, and all of the fivefold ministry shall be freed up to both establish the local churches and carry out the tasks which I have ordained for them. And what that speaks to me is that throughout many, many years now, there's been much intercession, not just praying intercession, but actually living intercession on behalf of the apostles and prophets and many others. And now, as these things begin to take place, we're going to see a rapid escalation in the building of the true church. Right now, God has provided and established certain environments in order to begin to lead his people back towards him. But once people, in many numbers or vast multitudes, begin to come into that proper relationship with God and begin to do their part in the building of the church, it's going to free people up into the fullness of their ministries. And then, of course, that's going to escalate. And so you can see there's going to be a rapid growth in the glorious church. And people are going to be walking in a place where they're not deviating from their own path, but just simply walking by revelation. That is a simple thing. But boy, the devil has fought tooth and nail to stop that for 2,000 years. And more, but 2,000 years since the beginning of the church. Again, this is a time of divine restoration. And, you know, I've had glimpses over the years as the Father spoke to me about that, and it's outstanding. It's an outstanding and it's a supernatural thing. And we need to be in a position to receive that, to not leave any stone unturned where the devil has influenced our walk or hindered us or stolen from us. God is going to restore all. And he's going to restore it super abundantly. He said, pursue, overtake the enemy, recover all. It says in 1 Samuel 22, I believe, it says, pursue your enemies until they are consumed. Now, you know, that talks about a real serious determination. Proverbs talks about basically to the degree that we love God, it's to the degree that we'll hate evil. So the degree that the love of God is shed abroad in your heart, you're going to have a real desire, a godly desire, to move forth in a holy destruction of all that's evil in your path. And the devil will be put to flight, for sure. Again, the emphasis on divine restoration. That's something that each believer needs to go before God and find out. You know, the devil has done things to us that we've either forgotten or maybe aren't even aware of in the past. But God is going to restore that. And that's not only individual, that's corporately to the church. All that was meant for the church from the beginning that's been stolen by the devil is going to be restored to the remnant and be used for the purposes of God to finish this work perfectly in the earth. I mean, these things I'm talking about, they're just too awesome to try and explain. You can't. So as each individual believer goes in, they'll gain the necessary revelation. But the devil's not going to come out ahead where the true children of God are concerned between now and the time of the catching away. He most certainly is not. As a matter of fact, there's going to be great harm inflicted on him. Always remember, honor is not claimed, honor is bestowed. And really the basis of that is people are either going to walk in the fear of the Lord and they're going to seek to honor him in all that they say and do, or they're going to maintain a fear of man. And that leads to seeking after honor, to be accepted, to gain approval of man. That's a very dangerous thing. That flies right in the face of everything that Jesus did. It flies right in the face of the cross. Again, we're to come into an absolute dependence or trust on God with no reliance upon ourselves, no self-seeking, no self-effort. I mean, it really comes down to the place where we want to to love God with all our heart, to be a pleasing child, and to exalt the name of Jesus at every turn. I really, the further you come into this and get into this, the more you gain a revelation of the futility of the flesh, the futility of leaning upon one's own understanding in any way. All these things are, they grow in us as we continue on day by day. But Marsh, you said on Sunday about that exponential leap. That's an absolute reality that's going to happen. Truly I say to you, there are degrees of conviction. Full conviction is always the product of a pure heart, saturated with my word and my spirit. Now, what this really means to us individually is as we are diligent in the things of God, then we become saturated with a revelation of his will. We become saturated with his presence. And to the degree that we're walking in that perfect fellowship, we release, even in the simplest of situations, we release a conviction, a holy conviction upon those who cross our path. Now, if you're in the path of someone who's truly seeking God, then it's a blessing that comes forth to them and a confirmation of their path and so on. But when you run into rebellion and any spirit working, apart from the Holy Spirit working in the child of God, there is going to be a conviction released. And it will be discerned by them because they have no discernment in the flesh except what they themselves know. And it will come as they'll accuse you of accusing, they'll accuse you of condemning, and so on and so forth. They're judging falsely. All those things. Again, the importance of walking by revelation moment by moment. And a lot of times, God will have you say something or do something, and you're just simply obeying with great joy in your heart. But the effect will be the opposite of what you might expect it. So it pays not to expect anything except to believe God's best for the people you're dealing with. Always maintain a soft and tender heart towards me, for perfect obedience always springs forth from a tender heart. Now God's really been speaking to me about this area of conscience. And when our conscience is clear, when our heart is sensitive and tender towards God, then the Holy Spirit, that still small voice, is able to become quite clear. And the separation between spirit and soul is quite evident. And that's a wonderful place to be. But many times what happens is, and this is why God is fine-tuning us, there can be a certain area in one's life where somewhere along the line, maybe over a gradual period of time or maybe a longer period of time, they've actually made a decision, an act of their will, to hold on to something that's not profitable to them. So as we've known throughout the years, God will let us go on and walk in the things we've sown to for a while, and ultimately the heart that's wholly given to God comes to a place of frustration, restlessness, and knows something's wrong. There are many who are so hardened in their heart, they not only do they not know they're doing something wrong, they think they're in the will of God. So anyway, this can be on a church level, a ministry level, or it can just be simply on those things in our personal life. See, everything that God does for us, or leads us into, or speaks to us, is for our greatest eternal benefit. And when we have to come to a belief of that. And so when he says, when we're in that quiet, this is why it's, again, so important to be in that quiet time before God. Because we again hear that still small voice, and our conscience is not seared or hardened to the point where we're just not quite hearing. And so that's very important this hour, because God really truly wants to bestow the fullness of our inheritance in Christ upon us. He wants to trust us with things that are so outstanding that we never even thought possible in our own thinking. But again, he's not going to bestow things on us that are going to harm us or take us off the path. But you know, again, we're very close as a corporate body, the remnant, to receiving the fullness of what God has for us. And you see, in receiving the fullness of all that God has for us, spirit, soul, body, and financially, then we can use that in obedience to God with pinpoint accuracy to go about destroying the schemes of the enemy and just literally turn the tables on him, no matter wherever we go. So again, a sensitive heart, a tender heart. Hearing God in this last hour is very important. And I just want to encourage people that that's not something that looks like it's way out there. As born-again, spirit-filled Christians, walking supernaturally and walking in supernatural discernment should be the normal course of action. And that's the way God wants it, and that's the way it will be for us. But again, we need to be in that place of fellowship with God so that we can have an eternal perspective. When you have eternal perspective, the things or the daily affairs of life, whether it's a good day or a seemingly bad day or whatever the devil's trying to do, really are inconsequential because you remain constant and you remain consistent in the goal of carrying out the will of God and really to be a pleasing child of the Father. And I mean, when we come to that place of fellowship with Him, we literally can be in a place that no matter what is happening, we can look out and in the Spirit, we can see the smile on the Father's face. That's a reality. And that's all you need. When you have that, it doesn't matter what the devil's trying to do. So again, it's all a matter of loving Him with your whole heart. And when people are consistent in that, they begin to experience the benefits of the kingdom. And they begin to understand that God is real. And I heard it preached by one preacher just a while ago. He said, the people of God have to come to a place, you know, they can look at their right arm, and it's real. I mean, we see our right arm. He said, but Jesus is more real than your right arm. And that's spiritual reality. And so we need to have that flip-flop in our thinking and realize that that which is real, well, it was that which was invisible that created the physical. Very important. Another one, he's talking again about the remnant church. He says, as you speak the words which I send you forth to speak to my people, they shall be elevated. Everything we do and say in obedience to God is to bring people higher, much higher. And of course, we know that if there are those who are in fellowship, or those who are in fellowship with the world are in a very low place, a very dangerous place. And so, you know, we can take great joy in the fact that as we are sent forth, it doesn't matter who or where you're walking, when we speak to people, they are going to be elevated. They're going to be elevated in their thinking, elevated in their heart. And if their hearts are towards God in any way, then the things that we say and do are going to be very beneficial to them. The only other option is to be offended for people. But either way, God is bringing people to a point of absolute decision in this last hour. There is a spiritual tsunami coming, and positioning is everything. If those people who were involved in that tsunami back at the end of last year were 100 miles inland, they wouldn't have been affected. But the people who were in the wrong place at the wrong time were greatly affected. And so that's very important to remember. And I've said this one before, but it's always a good one. Always remember, you can coast down the mount, but you can never coast up the mount. You know, there's a scripture, and I believe it's Isaiah 48:17, that the Lord says He's going to teach us to profit. You know what the Hebrew word profit means? It means to cause you to move higher step by step. And again, it rolls right into line with what Paul talked about, faith to faith and glory to glory, and so on. Yeah, up the mount. It leads you higher and higher. Always remember, from a place of passivity, one can always be awakened as they incline their heart toward me. But from a place of presumptuous activity, one may not ever recover from the certain onslaught of the enemy in this hour. Now, there's a passivity and reluctance, that sort of thing, is born of fear. Now, fear maintained, fear and ignorance, but fear and ignorance maintained ultimately will be found to be rebellion before God. But people who have already been presumptuous and they're out establishing ministry, doing this, doing that, apart from the will of God, those are the ones that are convinced in their own thinking that they're in the will of God. But the good news is this, and believe me, this one of the hardest things to deal with is the spirit of rebellion. There's no question about it. I mean, under them are a hierarchy of many, many spirits that are of lesser power. But the good news is this, and I've believed this for many years, and I believe we're going to see this very shortly. The anointing on the third day church is coming straight for the spirit of rebellion. That's where the civil war conflict is going to come in. But there's going to be many great and glorious victories, and people who you never thought would come out of rebellion are going to come out just like that. very quickly. That's important to remember. We have to have faith in the ministry of the Holy Spirit and the anointing that abides within us. We have to have faith. You can't be moved. I don't care how many years the situation's been going on. You cannot allow yourself to be moved by that, because you're just strengthening the devil's grip by exercising doubt and unbelief. But when we get into that absolute faith and are not moved by any amount of time or what we see or what we hear, that's going to come to pass. I mean, we really don't need to go into this now, but every prayer you pray needs to be a revelation from God. I mean, if it's not, then what are we even talking about it as prayer for? So once we do that, then we can have that divine assurance that what he's given us to pray is going to come to pass. And believe me, the time is getting shorter, but the battle is intense, and so we need to be of faith. And as the battle has intensified, many have fallen away from the faith, but many have also gone further in and deeper into the faith and come into that place of an absolute faith. So from a place of passivity, one can always be awakened as they incline their heart toward me. That's still a prerequisite. But from a place of presumptuous activity, one may not ever recover from the certain onslaught of the enemy in this hour. And I'm going to tell you this right now. I believe I've said this before, but everything that's apart from Christ is going to be exposed. It's going to become evident. Paul prophesied it 2,000 years ago. It's going to happen. You cannot call the church of the Lord Jesus Christ the church of the Lord Jesus Christ when it's tainted by the flesh. That makes no sense at all. Was Jesus' ministry tainted by the flesh in his earthly ministry? No, and neither will ours be. And you know, people can say, well, we've made so many mistakes, we've done this and that. No, the blood, that is also more real than anything we've done apart from Christ. And when the whole thing clears, God is going to have raised up a spotless and unblemished church that he views as seeing spotless and unblemished, first of all, but mistake-free and error-free, because they are going to have accomplished the will of God by his power. Oh, the power of the blood. And we need that. You know, they overcame by the power of the blood, the word of their testimony. These things are real. In other words, if they don't partake of those things found in Revelation, they're not going to overcome the person, the individual. But, I mean, that really, isn't it amazing? It all comes down to whether one loves God or whether with their whole heart or one doesn't. Because if one loves God with their whole heart, then we really quickly come to the realization that he has made the perfect provision for us to accomplish everything he created us for. And if a Christian is in this earth living for some other purpose than that, then they're apart from Christ to some degree. The time has passed wherein my people can pick and choose from the words which flow out of true apostolic and prophetic ministry. For to request one word of the true apostle or prophet, to reject one word of the true apostle or prophet is to reject all of their words. Why? Because that person is rejecting in a wrong spirit, and they're looking to contend for something that has come forth from heaven. How can you get away from the example of Korah and Moses? He came off of the mount with a revelation of holiness for the people of Israel, and immediately Korah and those who were rebellious with him contended for that revelation, and that will happen in this hour. And what God is saying is that I'm raising up true apostles and prophets. I'm raising up people who are speaking in a spirit of true prophecy, and those prophecies are going forth. And if people try to pick a sentence out or say, well, I don't think God quite meant that. In other words, they won't be able to discern that the prophecy is true, probably because they're so used to seeing tainted prophecy. But on the other hand, those who are truly walking with God, they can discern when a prophecy is tainted, and they will know what the true apostolic and prophetic ministry is in this hour. But when one receives the ministry of the true apostle or prophet, or true apostolic prophetic ministry, again includes the body of Christ, the true body of Christ, then the receiving of my word shall surely cause them to touch the deepest thoughts and intentions of my heart. Now, you know, we've been talking a lot about a garden and gardens, and that's a wonderful thing. It really is, because God is really moving his people back. It's almost like full circle, only without the fall. And the fact is that God created man to fellowship with him. And God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's never departed from that. So when he says that he wants us to be in that fellowship with him, to walk with him in the garden, so to speak, then those who truly love him will enter into that place. And because of that, they will come to know the deepest thoughts and intentions of his heart. When you know those, I don't have time to stand here and tell you the benefits of that, but when you know the heart of the Father, and you him at every turn and acknowledge him in all your ways, you are going to walk the victorious life and the overcoming life in all things. From this time forth, my beloved ones, there shall be a fresh anointing upon your words. Again, we're talking about the acceleration of the church, the release of the fullness of the third day anointing. Oh, it's coming. We just need to be vessels of that anointing. God will look after the results. We don't need to be. We'll see results. Just like a swath. It's just going to be cut right through, and people are going to end up exactly on the side they've chosen to be on. That's real. That's been real to me for a lot of years. And now as I see things unfolding the way they're unfolding, it is an extreme blessing. But why should we be surprised that what God has said is true? But we need to know what God has said. We need to know his heart and his great love for mankind to understand in this hour. I mean, just the fact that there still remains unforgiveness in the lives of God's children, some of God's children, that's a horrendous thing. I mean, if they don't know about the importance of forgiveness, what do they know? That really, truly is one of the absolute requirements. And if a person's heart is wholly given, they'll be in a position for God to reveal what needs to be revealed. But there is no such thing as justification for unforgiveness, period. No matter what people have done. So there shall be a fresh anointing upon your words, and on every word you speak, a sense of urgency shall go forth, which shall cause all those who hear to either enter into the center of my will, and that can happen like that. You know, you don't have to, when people have been out there and have been like the prodigal son, they don't have to spend the next 6 months earning the right to come back into God's presence. No, instantaneously, and they can just go from there. That is, again, an example of divine restoration, to be restored into the center of God's will. And these are things that you can encourage people with across your path. You know, people, well, the devil, when people foul up, the devil, the first thing he says is, well, you know, you may plead the blood and you may, you know, receive forgiveness from God, but you're going to have to in some way earn your way back to this. You just can't, that just can't be taken care of right now. That's just a lie. So it will cause those who hear to enter into the center of my will for their life, or to quickly run further from my will for their life. Again, God is bringing people to a place of absolute decision. And it's a glorious thing. It's not called the glorious church for nothing. And I can't put this in words, but you're not going to be able to pick up a Christian journal and find out what's going to happen between now and the catching away of the church. It will be the greatest release of the power of God ever in this earth. You figure it out from there. No, we'll walk in it. That's a fact. You shall go forth, again, talking about the remnant church, with a brashness and an integrity that is unparalleled. Jesus walked that way. Now, you can take brashness as a negative word, but when it's used to come against the devil, and it's coming from a heart of love, the love of God, then it's a positive thing. And of course, that integrity, that being righteously motivated in everything that we say and do, and seeking to be righteously motivated and to walk in that integrity, it's a wonderful thing. And we are going to be a sign and wonder in this earth in every way. What one believes is based on what thoughts they habitually take. Again, we're called to bring every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. We're called to bring every thought captive to a revelation of God's will. This doesn't get boring and it doesn't get time consuming. It's not always a matter of consciously having to bring every thought captive. When you flow in the power of the Spirit, then those thoughts, again, rise up from the impulses of the heart. They're heard very clearly and acted upon.
It's simply, and if we're in a battle and we do have to do that, then we do it. But when you are consistent and when you're determined, we talked about diligence the last time, and then afterwards, one of the speakers spoke about, what was it, determination and, does anybody remember? Determination and concentration. And I thought, you know, that's pretty neat. Okay, concentration, we'll keep our eyes fixed on Jesus. That's where we're to concentrate, the Word of God. And determination or devotion to God. And I thought that's what constitutes diligence. If you have those two things working at all times, then you are going to be diligent in the things of God. If you keep your eyes fixed on things apart from Christ and you're determined to get your own way, then you're going to have your eyes in the wrong place and you're going to be diligent to do the work of the enemy and to hinder the true work of God. To the degree that one abides in my word, it is only to that degree that they are fit to lead those that I have given to them. But as one does abide in Christ, those that I have given them for the purpose of being led into the fullness of their inheritance in Christ shall surely know my voice through them and shall fall in behind and follow their lead as they walk in perfect obedience. Now again, that's not to do what the person in leadership is doing. It's to imitate the way that they receive from God and then do the individual thing that God reveals to them. And as people do that, again, we're in that place of not deviating from our own path. And the most marvelous things happen when everybody just simply does their own job. It's a simple thing, but it takes a heart wholly given. People whose hearts aren't wholly given to God never come to be free from the self-life and the influence of the self-life and the mental processes that the devil just keeps feeding them. There should be no mental ascension to the Word of God, to the will of God in the midst of the church, those in the church. Don't forget that wisdom and revelation run hand in hand. He is the spirit of wisdom and revelation. We do have, as the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ, the answers that the world needs. They may not realize it yet, but pretty soon, as things begin to unfold, they're going to know where to turn. All great work or works must begin by simple acts of faith. Again, faith works by love. You can't exercise faith without a revelation of God's will. You can exercise faith, I don't mean that, but I meant you can't exercise divine faith except for in a revelation of God's will. Because we have a natural faith. I mean, every time we drive down the road, we're not sitting there thinking, boy, I wonder if that guy's going to swerve over in front of me every car that goes by. We don't. It's a natural faith. And the fact is that these simple acts of faith, this simple obedience to the will of God is going to cause many great works to rise up in this hour. All the activity and all the turmoil that we've seen in years past in the church is going to be seen exactly for what it is, the organization of man and those things which have proceeded from the mind of the flesh. We are going to be able to distinguish between those who truly love God and those who don't, between those who truly serve Him and those who don't. All things. Now, I remember this word has served me well over the years. I get into a place where I was kind of wondering what was going on and wasn't being completely obedient in what God wanted me to do, and so He would just say this to me, bring it to my remembrance. All things await only consistency in the spirit man, continuing in dominance over your soul and body. And that's again, this word of being consistent, being constant in the things of God is so important. You know, I believe somebody else said this too. We can't be up one day and down the next, up one day and down the next. You know, up one day, down for five, and up for one. That's just not the true Christian life. I'm telling you, if you had a heart thing done, a cardiograph done, and it looked like that, you'd be scared. And then there's a few prophecies here that I'd written down, and I don't know how many of you have heard of Thomas Akampi. He was a 11th or 12th or 13th century prophet. And the book, I believe it's called The Imitation of Christ, not the negative imitation of Christ, but The Imitation of Christ, contains well over 100 prophecies that are just absolutely right on. And this is coming from a man who grew up in the throes of the Catholic religion and all the various doctrines of darkness that began to come in even past the time of the Middle Ages and the Dark Ages. And this is one here. He said, "When you think that you have become remote from me, often I am nearer." This is God talking. "When you think that all is nearly lost, often greater gain of merit is at hand, which tells us never to give up. In the darkest hour, it's not much longer. But hold on with everything you've got to the Word of God and the Spirit of God. If you think rightfully and observe truthfully, you should never be so deeply saddened by adversity." In other words, if we're thinking righteously, if we're thinking in terms of eternal perspective, realizing that what God is doing, the circumstances he's put us in through our obedience, is actually bearing much fruit for the kingdom and in the lives of those around us. So we need to realize that, and then we'll never be so deeply saddened by adversity. We can say with Paul, "I rejoice." "Just as my Father loved me, so I love you. I said to my beloved disciples, whom assuredly I did not send forth to earthly joys or worldly joys or pleasures, but to great conflicts, not to honors or the honor or the praises of men, but to manifold contempt, not to leisure, but to toils." Again, that's self-leisure or self-pleasure. "Not to relaxation, but to the bearing of much fruit in patience. These words, my child, remember." Now, you know, a lot of things happen in the life of a believer that truly desires to accomplish all that God has for them in this life. But as we are faithful to continue on with God, there comes a time where you can truly rejoice at the attempts of the enemy to come against you, because you know, first of all, that God is your vindication, and secondly, that, again, the fact that we have a covenant with God and no weapon that is formed against us shall prosper. And ultimately, the time will come that the tables will be turned on Satan, and because of our faith and love and patience in that matter, the tables will be turned and great and multiplied harm will come back to him. And in the process, captives will be set free. I mean, faith and love and patience and obedience, they all work together for God's greatest purpose. And I said, either the last teaching or the one before, that God spoke to me about patience. And he said, "I need a patient people so that I can fulfill the fullness of everything that I desire to fulfill." Again, it's his will that not one soul should perish. And no soul will perish except by their own choice. But the fact is, God is going to release through us in those times light. And we're going to be a beacon in this hour. So never, never disdain any type of adversity that you're experiencing, because there's a purpose in it. Now, I'm not talking about adversity that's caused by our own sin. I'm talking about those circumstances which unfold by the power of the Spirit because you've been obedient. Great God is not a time waster. And when we are obedient, even the smallest thing, he is working, and there's a million facets of his will towards the church going on at any given second, which is another reason why we shouldn't be mentally ascending to the will of God. Another word, vessels of conviction. And in that expression, you know, God was showing me that in this last hour, we are going to be vessels of his righteous judgment. We are going to be, and that's not like, oh, we're coming as judge. The same person that is offended, another person is going to be blessed by the same thing we do or say. We're just vessels that represent the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit perfectly. What the result happens because of the state of the heart in the one that crosses our path. "Those of my children who continue to judge unrighteously all those around them do so because they have never completely laid down their own lives before me." Now, we know that the flesh is at enmity with the Spirit. That's it. It's perfect enmity. It's exactly the opposite. And so the fact is, as the truth goes forth in the absoluteness of God's power, then people are going to be convicted. And they're going to, things in them are going to be exposed, and they're going to have to get out into that spirit of self-justification in order to maintain their own agenda. And we have to be ready, because this is going to happen. It says, and thus every word they speak in complaint and judgment is but a product and an image of those things which control them. And indeed, the very things they accuse others of, they themselves do. And that's the way of the flesh, Romans 2:1. They don't have any supernatural discernment, so they're actually discerning and looking at situations in a manner that, well, if I was in that situation, they don't think this way, but that's the way it unfolds. If I was in that situation and I talk like that, then I would be arrogant, or I would be prideful. That's why when people who are in the flesh see a man or woman of faith, they call them prideful or arrogant. I remember another word the Father gave me, and it was about the Third Day Church, and he said, they will call you apostolic elitists. Because we are so assured of the vision, we are so assured of carrying out God's word, they can't see it but anything is pride. Because they know themselves, if they were that sure of something, it would be arrogant or prideful in their own thinking, and so they discern it that way. Nonetheless, we just go forth and do the will of God. See, these are all things that are going to happen, and they're going to accelerate. Our job is to be filled with the love of God and to be in that place of fellowship with Him, entering into that place of abiding and revelation knowledge. And then we will be found overcoming in all things, and we'll see marvelous results. I mean, when you think back about it, all the years and all the different trials and preparation and things that we've gone through, it doesn't seem like much. Which one of the revelations that God's given you would you forsake now? So what was the cost to get that revelation? It doesn't matter. We have it. It's not going anywhere. That's important. And that will be seen very clearly in this hour, the value of revelation knowledge. A spirit of accusation can never be of me. And that's not really that difficult to understand. When people begin to accuse other people, they're not walking by the Holy Spirit. Here's another word through Thomas a Kempis. Jesus speaking, I am he who in a moment lifts the humble mind so that it may grasp more reasonings of eternal truth or revelation than if it had studied 10 years in the quote-unquote schools. I teach without the din of words, the chaos of opinion, the arrogance of honor, that's seeking the honor of men, the strife of arguments, again, self-exaltive contending, in the name of finding the truth. I am he who teaches to despise the things of the world, to seek those of eternity and savor them, to fly from honors, that's the honors that men try to bestow on you for wrong purposes, endure offenses, to place all trust in me, and above all, to love me fervently. Again, when you talk about loving someone fervently, we're talking about a consistent love, a constant love. And when you're constant and consistent in your love towards God, it will be a fiery and a passionate love, and it will be maintained. And as you do that, not only does it burn away the dross in us, but it just builds and builds and builds and builds. And don't forget, we've got all eternity to spend in the presence of the Lord. And it's not going to get boring. My church is no longer going to be a church that only talks of me, but they shall be a church with me in their midst. There's a big difference there. In other words, it is time for me to enter into the midst of my people. I mean, is there anything that God can't do? No. He is going to enter into the midst of a believing and a receiving people. A people that love him. I have anointed you unto a holy destruction of all that is apart from me in the midst of my people. Again, the third day anointing moving forth in fire. And I'm not sure if I have this word in here today, but he said that the chief characteristic of the church, both individually and corporately, between now and the catching away of the church, will be fire. Well, the scripture says that our God is a consuming fire. We also will be vessels of that consuming fire, and it will consume all that is apart from Christ in our path, whether people like it or not. They're either going to have to repent or run very quickly away, but this will cause an even greater and exponential separation than we've seen up till now. All by the power of God. We're not going to come up with the fire of God. We're going to have it abiding in our midst because he abides in us. To the degree that my children measure my forgiveness towards them, it will be to that degree that they are enabled to abide in forgiveness towards others. We need to have a revelation of the blood of Jesus. We need to have a revelation of what God has done for us. We need to have a revelation of who we are in his sight. That is very, very important. It was probably 8 years ago now, I was set apart. And in that time, there was two topics that God spoke to me in great depth on. One of them was forgiveness or unforgiveness and forgiveness, the importance of forgiveness and the dangerousness of unforgiveness. I was interceding for a person for a six-month period. And the other area was the spirit of false prophecy that was still running rampant in the church. I was seeing people go to quote-unquote respected leaders, get a prophecy, and they immediately left the center of God's will because it was a false prophecy. And it looked good. It sounded good. Didn't even necessarily not line up with the word. But it was a spirit of false prophecy. It took them out of the higher calling that God had for them and put them in a place. And they acted on it and consequently still remain out of the center of God's will. So he dealt me with on that. But when he was speaking to me about, and in that was self-desire, because if you don't have self-desire, you're not going to receive a false prophecy. If your heart's wholly given to God, you'll know whether it's God or not. That's just the way it is. People are running around trying to figure out what's of God and what's not of God. They're not close enough to God. You know, when somebody, a friend calls you on the phone, and you hear their voice, you know their voice. It's just who we're familiar with. But anyway, the importance of forgiving at all costs to ourselves. That's just loving at all costs to ourselves. I mean, it's very gratifying to the soul to hold unforgiveness, especially when you feel justified in it. But I got to tell you, gratifying the soul is not where it's at. You know, let's gratify God and then our soul will be fine. Social fellowship in the midst of my children is a curse, for it tends only to keep them in bondage to what men require rather than what I require. Well, I don't have time to go into this now, but it's just important for the people of God to walk by the Spirit. And when there's no self-seeking, again, we become a people who enter into that place of not deviating from our own path. We become true friends to each other because we're seeking to love people at all times. In other words, we're seeking to obey God on the behalf of those who are with us. And then there's a flow. And that's certainly noticeable in this congregation, even though it's gone down a bit. Things are very well. Social fellowship produces emotional attachments. Well, we all know the danger of those. We don't want to be attached to anything but God. And then those who are in Christ, there's a supernatural connection that comes with that. And emotional attachments are the bane of one, or a poison, of one seeking to walk in the fullness of the ministry they are called to. So God first, we reach the fullness of ministry. People first, we don't. The devil will have an open door to keep us separated from the revelation of God. I mean, it's just amazing to see these things unfolding now, just as the prophets and the apostles and others have prophesied. I mean, it doesn't matter how real that becomes to us in our believing. When the physical manifestation comes, it's just like, you know, icing on the cake. It really is. How can one walk in the Spirit and be self-conscious? The answer is they can't. Boy, I don't want to know who I am apart from God. I want to know who God thinks I am or what I am in Christ. We should by now know who we are apart from Christ to a great enough degree that we don't ever want to go there. If one is too embarrassed to speak the truth, then they shall be too embarrassed to walk in it. Okay, again, the fear of man. But again, that position of right fellowship with God You know, we just have that burning revelation in our heart. And I mean, many times you just speak and do something. You don't even think of consequences or anything else. Well, there may be consequences. There's two kinds of consequences. There's the consequences of sin. You want to avoid those because that's not good. And never fear the consequences of obedience. Because what God is seeking to establish is for his greatest eternal purpose, both for you and for the people who cross your path. But we don't want to have a fear of man. I came not to bring peace, but a sword. And so everywhere I send you, there shall be a dividing take place. For now is the time for all to choose their allegiance. It's all what it's always come down to is allegiance. They will choose either life or death, light or darkness, healing or sickness and disease, rest and peace or unrest and anxiety, faith or fear, love or hatred, humility or arrogance, submission to my word or the pride and rebellion that manifests itself when one rejects my word, which is delivered by my holy bondservants and handmaidens. Again, absoluteness. I mean, that blesses me because I don't, and personally, of course, I don't want to be have a mixture in my life. And neither should we want that corporately. And as we come into that place individually, the corporate manifestation of the spotless and unblemished church will be a bright, bright light. You know, I keep getting that image of a lighthouse in the midst of the darkness and the storms. And many a sailor's life have been saved by that lighthouse being there. If it wasn't there, they would never have had an opportunity to be saved. Oh, here's this word. I'll read it again. It's good enough. If I were to give you one word, my beloved ones, to define the chief characteristic of your ministry and your remaining time in the earth, it would be fire. And, you know, you can go in. We've studied fire here. I mean, we've had a number of teachings and talking about the elements of fire and so on, and that holy fire that goes forth, and it causes some things to happen. But one of the main things is it throws light on whatever's in your path. Any one of my children who have a faulty definition of sin, well, the Bible defines sin, whatever's not from faith is sin. How absolute can you get? You can't get any more absolute than that. So any one of my children who have a faulty definition of sin will most certainly have a dim vision and understanding of my disdain for it. So again, if we're walking in that place of absolute faith and that heart wholly given and loving the Lord our God with our whole heart, we are going to have a revelation of God's disdain for sin. It's not just a matter of, oh, I sin, oh, that's going to cause me some problems. That's selfish, and that's not true repentance. But when we truly have that godly sorrow for sin, then we have that understanding of God's disdain for it, and then repent with a true repentance and move back into that place of pleasing God in all that we say and do. Guarding one's heart with all diligence is a 24-hour-a-day job. I believe I did that the last time. The answer of the mind is Satan's highest will. Now, when we listen to what the devil's trying to do and we move in a place of leaning upon our own understanding, what the devil is going to influence us towards is to move us as quickly as possible towards our destruction. Now, obviously, you can't always do that in one day. I know that. Or I won't say that. I was going to say we'd all be dead. But the fact is that when we're hearing the voice of the Holy Spirit and we do what he says, that's always for God's highest purpose. So we're going to listen to one or the other. We need to be in that place where we can hear the still small voice. This is the word I wanted to bring up a few weeks ago when I believe it was Bill was talking about the importance of not complaining and getting caught. And this is how God defined complaining. He said, complaining is the heart cry of unbelief and selfishness. In other words, complaining always has to express itself. And I'll close with this. This is the time wherein I shall lead all those who truly love me into the fullness of their inheritance in Christ. That's something to remember. Because if we're going to lead others into the fullness of their inheritance in Christ, we're going to have to first be found walking in that. Heavenly Father, we just thank you and praise you for the work that you've done and that you continue to do in our life. And we thank you, Father, for the fullness of our inheritance in Christ. And we thank you that you're leading us into that we might be powerful vessels of the revelation of your covenant that you wrought in through the blood of Christ at Calvary. So we just give you all honor and praise and glory, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.